Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you for just this time together, Lord. Thank you for just this beautiful summer's day, and I thank you that we can just celebrate as family together your love and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Just hit my water here in the shade to keep it cool. Just get that ready. Awesome. I wanna share this afternoon with you on the title of my message is According to the Love of the Lord. According to the Love of the Lord. Now that's a piece of scripture that comes out of Isaiah. And then we know that Jesus also said, love others as I have loved you. Okay, now that sounds very difficult because we don't really understand how God has loved us. And then we put a burden on it. But the thing is, you can only give what you received. So if Jesus says, love others as I have loved you, it means give that bucket of love that I've given you, give some of that to others. Okay, so it's not you and your own effort. It's not you trying to make this work and trying to fight this and stir this love up and just grit your teeth and smile and wave, as they say. That's not love. That's not what Jesus would do. So tonight I want to take you on a journey. I want to take you on a story. And I want to take you through the story. And it's the story of Isaiah. The story of Isaiah is not your typical Bible story found in a kid's Bible. Okay, it's about PG-13, depending on which version you read. That's why we do it at the evening service and not at the morning service. But I want to take you on this journey through the story, and it's just a highlights package. I'm not going to go through all of it, so don't worry. The fact is, it's a very interesting story. It's a story that's going to rattle your paradigm and shake the way you see God. It's a story that has shook and shaken the perceptions of man and mankind for thousands of years. And guess what? It's a true story of a real God with real people and his real love in action. So they say, or Mnet at least say, that Sunday night is movie night. So I want you to imagine with me quickly. Hosea, new prophet, young prophet, is operating about the same time as Isaiah. Isaiah is a man of God. The kings call him. They know him. And now you have the young guy, Hosea. The first time God spoke to Isaiah, he said, find a whore and marry her. Find a harlot. Okay. Think about it. We're going on a movie. It's PG-13, so don't be too worried. Find a whore and marry her. Man of God. Prophet. Now think about what the rapporto say. And the churches and the people. Find a harlot and marry her. Make her the mother of your children. Okay, start a family. Hosea, man of God, start a family. Where do you find your wife, Hosea? In the red light district. Not in church. In the back alleys. In the dark places of this world. Go find her there. Find someone, because I want to show a story to my people. They're not listening, this tribe of Israel. So I'll show them. And you're going to do it, Hosea. I'm with you. Find her. So guess what? Hosea did it. Okay. That's always, I love those scriptures. God gives an instruction. And then if they didn't do it, we wouldn't have the story. It was his choice. So Hosea did it. It's like Jesus' mother. When they said at the wedding, she said, whatever he says. And she knew he's a bit different. Whatever he says, just do it. I mean, he said, go and make 6 bathtubs full of water when the wine was finished. Now, those two, in our brains, don't connect. Whatever he says, do it. Okay, so Hosea did it. He picked Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. She got pregnant and gave him a son. Then God told him, name him Jezreel. Now, Jezreel means God sows. It won't be long now before I make the people of Israel pay for the massacre of Jezreel. I'm calling it quits to the kingdom of Israel. Payday is coming. I'm going to chop Israel's bow and arrows into kindling the valley of Jezreel. Okay, so God says, Hosea, you're going to marry this harlot. You're going to have children. And you're not going to name the children. I'm going to name the children. Because I have a story. We're writing a movie, Isaiah, but it's a real life. It's not even a documentary, because a documentary is usually very biased. The guy that does the documentary wants to portray a message, and he only shows what adds to his message. He doesn't show all the facts. Isaiah, we're making a movie. You have your first child with Gomer the harlot, and you're calling him God sows. Now, the way that God says it is almost like God sows, but God almost throws away. God puts away. So Gomer got pregnant again. This time she had a daughter, and God told Hosea, name this one Lo-ruhamah, which means no mercy. Okay, now God is on a roll. I mean, he's marrying a harlot. God sows, and God says, name your second child no mercy. Now, if you wake up and you realize your name is no mercy, you're going to ask your dad, mom, what happened there? Why did you pick that? No, God said so. Okay, let's talk about that. God said, I'm fed up with Israel. I've run out of mercy. There's no more forgiveness. Judah is another story. I'll continue having mercy on them. I'll save them. I'll be a God to them. So after Gomer had weaned Lo-ruhamah, no mercy, she got pregnant yet again and had a son. So she had a son, a daughter, and another son, a third child. And God said, name him Lo-ami, which means nobody. Okay, so you get up. You're born on the eighth day. This is nobody, everyone. Here's a little baby. Just got circumcised. Say welcome to nobody. God said, I must call him that. She got pregnant. Okay, so we have got God sows, we've got no mercy, and we've got nobody. The harlot as the mother, and Hosea, the man of God, as the father. Okay, so don't tell me your family troubles is worse than that. God has a plan. God loves families, I promise you. God said, you name him nobody because you've become nobodies to me, and I, God, am a nobody to you. So there's no relationship between me and my people anymore. But down the road, the population of Israel is going to explode past counting, like sand on the ocean's beaches. In the very places where they were once named nobody or Lo-ami, they will now be named God's somebody. So God is giving him the story, but God is speaking life. God is prophesying through Hosea, like, this is how it's now, but this is not my plan. This is not what I want, but this is what we currently need just to wake you up, to shake you, to say, but I've got a plan for these people. I've got a plan for Israel. You now nobodies, because I'm a nobody to you, but we're going to be somebody. We're going to be the man and the woman and the people of God. Everybody in Judah and everybody in Israel will be assembled as one people. They'll choose a single leader and there'll be no stopping them. A great day in Jezreel. Then God goes on and he says, rename your brothers, God somebody, rename your sisters, all mercy. So he says, yes, your kids are named no mercy and nobody, but rename your brothers. Start speaking life. Start bringing this out. All your mother into court, accuser, she's no longer my wife. I'm no longer her husband. So what happened in the story of Hosea is, Hosea married Gomer, the harlot. Gomer married him, but then she walked off again. Because her identity didn't change. She never believed that she's good enough for the man of God. So what happened is she fell back into her old life. And I think we see that a lot in church. People come, they get saved, they get excited, but they don't get established in who they are. They don't get established in the new covenant. They don't grow roots. So it's good for a season. Mark 4 speaks about it. But then when persecution comes and when people say, but listen, aren't you Gomer? I mean, I think we know each other. She could have said, no, I am now the wife of Hosea. But she stuck and got stuck in the past and went back to that. Now, I mean, it's one thing to marry a harlot, but if that harlot goes back into that life, what do you do then? What do you do as the man of God? So he says, speak to your mother, accuse her, because she's no longer my wife and I'm no longer her husband. Why? Because she's living a life of adultery again. What did she say? She said, I'm off to see my lovers. They'll wine and dine me, dress and caress me, perfume and adorn me. That was what she was thinking. Now, who was her lovers? It wasn't lovers. It was the people that paid for her services. But they gave her the things of the world. Who in this life gives you the things of the world to make you do what you don't want to do? That's not from God. It says, she'll go on the hunt for her lovers, but not bring down a single one. The lovers of the world, the lovers in the world, is always just out of reach. It's always just one more dollar. It's always just another thing. It's not the iPhone 6, it's the iPhone 7. You just think you have it and they bring out something new. You just think you're happier than you're not. You just think you've got the best car, they bring out the new one. I want to tell you a secret. It's geared that way. It's consumerism. They want you on the wheel. They want you to spend your money to chase after the world, to chase after money, to miss your family, to miss God, and to spend your money and become a slave to the system. Don't chase after other lovers. The Bible says you won't find them. You'll keep on running. It's like a donkey with a carrot and a stick. The carrot is in front of his nose, and he'll keep on walking, 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 but he'll never find the carrot. Don't be a donkey. We're the children of God. This is getting better. Don't worry. Just hang in there with me. She'll go on her hunt for lovers, but not bring down a single one. She'll look high and low, but won't find one. Then she'll say, I'm going back to my husband, the one I started out with. That was a better life by far than this one. She didn't know that I was along. That was I all along who wined and dined and adorned her. That I was the one who dressed her up in the big city fashions and jewelry that she wasted. Okay, so whatever you have in life is from God. It says that every good and perfect thing is from above. You might think that you worked for it, that you got it by a favor from people and whatever. God says, I'm giving it to you. Yes, I'm using people because that's all I have. That's where I, as God, put my faith in. I put my faith in people. So yes, you get it from people, but through people, but from me. So whatever you need, God's going to supply it for you. Now she says, and now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start all over again. This is now Hosea speaking. But if you read Hosea 2, you don't really know when God is speaking and when Hosea is speaking. It's like God is so entwined in the story because it's just an analogy. It's just a metaphor for his life. It's his people, Israel, the wife that is doing adultery through harlotry because of the Baal prophets and everything that goes with that. But Hosea is living it every day. He's living with this. He's looking for Gomer. And like God and Hosea speaks and he says, and now this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start all over again. Now remember what we're doing tonight is we're defining the love of God. We're defining that sentence that says, according to the love of God. Now if you don't know what that love is, you can't live according to the love of God. If you can't receive the love of God, the way and according to his love works, you can't give it. So according to the love of God, God says, here's what I'm going to do. Now think of it. You married a harlot. You gave her a chance. And she walked off on you. She went back to her old life. What is the love definition that we understand going to do in that situation? Yeah? I'll just extend my hand once. And if you don't want it, then drown. Let's be honest. Let's be honest tonight. This is what God says. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to start all over again. I'm taking her back out into the wilderness. I'm taking her, I'm separating her from all the noise, from all the lovers, from all the things. Because I know what's in her heart. I know who she really is. She isn't an harlot. She's a child of God. So let's get her out of the noise. Let's go. Let's caress her. Let's pursue her. Let's go after her. It says in the Message translation, where we had our first date, and I'll caught her basically there. He's taking her back to that moment when things worked, when it was pretty, when there was hope, when there was life. At that time, it's God's message still. He says, you'll address me, dear husband, man, never again will you address me as slave or master. Slave, master. So it says, the problem is that you understand me, you see me as your master, because I saved you out of something. Gomer, I'm not your master. I'm your husband. Let's live like that. I'm not just someone there that paid for you and now you're free. I want to be your master. Because she was a slave, remember, to her industry. And he got her out of that industry. But in that industry, she was used to masters. Because it's a slave industry. A slave have a master. So she still had the mentality that now that I just have a different master. It's a better master, He's maybe even a good master. And then we see God as that. I'm not a slave to the world anymore, but maybe I'm a slave to God. What's he going to do? Where's he going to take me? What's around the corner? How's he going to teach me? Punish me. Show me. Teach me through sickness. And it's a master-slave mentality, which is not what God said. God said, I will be a God unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters. You'll be my people, my children. I won't be your master. I want to be your dad. Jesus wants to be your brother, your friend. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Remember that song? God goes on and says, and then I'll marry you for good, forever. I'll marry you true and proper in love and tenderness. Yes, I'll marry you and neither leave you nor let you go. You'll know me, God, for who I really am. He says, I'll marry you. This time I'm going to marry you for real, because we need two parties that commit to a marriage. You can't go into a marriage and think you're just going to have a new master. You need to go into a marriage as a woman and see, this is my husband. This is the man I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. This is my lover. This is the one that loves me unconditionally. So there's a second marriage. On the very same day, I'll answer. This is God's message. I'll answer the sky. Sky will answer earth. Earth will answer grain and wine and oil and olive. It goes on and it says, earth will answer, and they'll answer Jezreel, meaning God shows. So everything, there's going to be wine, there's going to be oil, everything's going to be different, there's going to be prosperous again. And what will earth say? Jezreel, God sows. Where does everything come from? God who sows. So God said, this Jezreel, this child, it's a bad picture for now, but I'm going to turn it to good. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to make it different. I'll plant her in good earth. I'll have mercy on Lu Ruama. I'll have mercy on no mercy. Even though she doesn't deserve mercy, I mean, her very name states that there's no mercy there. Guess what? I'm God. I'll have mercy on no mercy. I will say to nobody, Lo Ami, you are my dear somebody. And they will say, you are my God. God changes that situation. So the message, this movie has a good end. Then God ordered me, start all over. Love your wife again. Your wife who's in bed with the latest boyfriend, your cheating wife. Love her again. Remember, this is God's kind of love. Go out, start over, love her. I did it. I paid good money to get her back. So what Isaiah does is he starts, God gives him this prophecy. God says, now go and find her. Now where do you find a harlot? Think about it. Where do you go? You don't go to church. You don't go to the mall. You go to places we maybe as Christians don't think we need to go. And what is Isaiah looking for? His wife. His cheating wife. His adulterous wife. His harlot wife. Why? Because that's how God loves you. He finds us where we need him most. He finds us in the dirty, rotten places of this world. Love her the way I, God, love the Israelite people, even as they flirt and party with every god that takes their fancy. I did it. I paid good money to get her back. Hosea goes, and he actually finds his wife. He finds her with another master. A new master. And this master said, you're not taking her. She belongs to me. Isaiah says, I mean, he could have said, it's my wife. She belongs to me. I mean, here's the ring. Isaiah said, that's fine. Even though she belongs to me, I'm married to her, I'll pay. Even though we are the people of God, he sent his son Jesus and said, I'll pay. I'll pay the price. Because it's not about the price, it's about the possession. It's not about the price, it's not about how much Hosea had to pay, it's about Gomer. It's about what he got for what he paid. Look what it goes on, it says, I paid good money to get her back. It cost me the price of a slave. Then I told her, from now on, you're living with me. No more warring around, no more sleeping around. You're living with me and I'm living with you. Wow. What a story. A real life story, remember? in the Bible, what I basically did is I read the Message translation, paraphrased here and there a bit. Love unrelenting, love furious, as real as you can ever imagine. Also as dirty as you can ever imagine. But as tangible as you can ever imagine. God says, I want to tell this story. I want to show my people how much I love them, according to the love of the Lord. And Hosea said, how's that, God? And God said, I'll show you. Hosea, you want to see? Hosea said, yes, God. He says, okay, I'll show you. Go and marry a harlot. Whoa, God. I said, use me, but no. He said, I'll do it. So what has this story got to do with us? Where do we fit in? First of all, Hosea, the prophet, his name means deliverer, rescuer, savior, the one getting the victory. Hosea is a picture of Jesus. Gomer the harlot means ending in failure. It's also base words meaning perfection and perform. What I get out of it is when you perform to try and be perfect, you end in failure. Because that's the world we live in. That's the way we are if we do it on ourselves. We perform to try and be perfect, but it ends in failure. Gomer means ending in failure. So Gomer is a picture of us. Hebrews 2, 16 and 17. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest, the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Okay, so why can I say that Hosea is a picture of Jesus? Hosea was a man. Jesus said, I'll become a man to come and save my people. So to save people, God had to become a person. If he wanted to save monkeys, he would have become a monkey. Okay, he wanted to save people, so he became one of us. Because that was the price that was there to pay. Marriage. Why does God use the marriage? Because marriage is a covenant. Hosea was married twice. He was married the old way, the old covenant. He was married the new way, the new covenant. And in the first way that they got married, they had three kids. So what is the fruit of the old covenant? God sows, no mercy, not pitied, not my people. Why? Because you had to perform. You had to do. You had to be right for God to treat you right. Okay, was Gomer right? No. So she wasn't treated right. Old covenant. So don't get too depressed. We're not there. I want to show you the difference. Hosea 1, 4, Jezreel, God shows. Hosea 1, 6, the second child, Ru-Mohaha, no mercy, not pitied. Hosea 1, 9 and 11, Lo Ami, not my people. Okay, what I want to do now is I want to run you through the story in your Bible with me so we can start with Hosea 2. Hosea 1 is basically the background story. It's where the family gets together. It's where God tells him to marry her. Hosea 2 is where it really gets interesting. So Hosea 2 from verse 1. It says unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. It says, your children was called Lo Ami, you are not my people, and Rumah, not pitied. But God starts to speak life, and he changes things. He says, tell your brethren, there's mercy. Tell your brothers and sisters, you my people. So he speaks life. Even though they're not living it, even though the Israelites are still going crazy, he starts to speak it. Verse 2 says, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Okay. Says, she doesn't want to be my wife. Under this set of rules of marriage, she's walking off. She's living in adultery. She's not living the way husband and wife should live. Why? Because she's not sure of her identity. And she's living under an old covenant. Verse 5 goes on and it says, for thy mother hath played the harlot. She has conceived them that have done shamefully. She had said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. So I said, don't chase after other lovers. Don't chase after the world. Looks bright and breezy. Promise you it isn't. It ends in shame and a lot of bad things. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up my way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. Now, God is not throwing thorns on her. He is making it more difficult for her to leave because he wants her close. It's like church discipline. There's a blessing to being with God. There's obviously a blessing for her to be with Uzziah, the man of God. There's cover, there's protection, there's food, there's provision. But she wants to walk away. Now, God just says, I'm just going to make it a bit more difficult for her to walk away. Why? Because I want her close. I want her in. I want her with me. I want her under my roof. She's my daughter. She's my wife. Okay. Verse 7, and she shall follow after her lovers, but seek them, but she shall not overtake them, meaning she shall not find them. That's the carrot and the donkey. Don't chase after that carrot. It's always one promotion, one more dollar, one more thing, one more night away, one more trip. One more look. One more movie. One more time that cord goes around your legs, around your neck. Get away from it, people. God said, I will make you free and you will be free indeed through my son Jesus. So whatever you is happening in your life that's not making you free is not from God. Or it's not the truth. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the lies in your life is entangling you. It's actually choking you. And through being choked and tangled, you're not living as you could. So live light. Live free. Live with God. Verse 8 goes on. It says, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold. So God says, I gave her all those things. But she gave it to Baal. And guess what? Did that stop God from giving to her? No. He kept on giving. Even though she gave it to Baal. God said, you need it. I'll give it to you. I'll go on. Okay. I want to skip to verse 13. It says, I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, says the Lord. So God is very sad in this moment, and he says, that's what they did. She walked away. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Write the next scripture, the one scripture God describes how she walked away, how she basically took everything he gave her and threw it in his face. And then verse 14 basically just goes on and says, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. When you feel like you've taken everything that God has given you and just chucked it back in his face or chucked it away, what is God going to do? What is the love of God like in that moment right for you? Therefore, behold, I will allure Israel and bring her into the wilderness and I will speak tenderly to her. Why? To reconcile her to me. You can never walk far enough away from God for him not to say, come back, comfortably, tenderly, lovingly. Let's reconcile. Let's reconcile. Let's be lovers again. Let's reconcile. But you say, no, God, you can't. I mean, I did this and this and this and this. God said, let's reconcile. Even if you worship idols, afgode, Satanism, whatever you want to put in that block, even if you used your body, it doesn't matter. God says, let's be reconciled. In that moment, he looks at you and he sees who you really are. Now, who you really are is not what you've done. Who you really are is who God says you are, who he made you to be. That's what he sees. He doesn't see the harlot Gomer. He sees a wife. He sees beauty. He sees a lover. And his love is constant. His love is furious. He loves. The thing about God's love, I think sometimes we think love is in the air. Okay, we do because we sing songs about it. God's love is not in the air. God's love is directional. And is directed directly towards you. God doesn't just shoot in the air and hopes. No, it's directed to you. And it's not like Cupid who's going to run out of arrows. Because it's a constant force towards you. You can keep on walking away. You can keep on turning back and walking away. God's force of love is on you, directed towards you, with one thing in mind, one purpose, to be reconciled to his bride, to be reconciled to his child, to be reconciled to you. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days. Now that's a bit difficult. So the Amplified says, then I will give her vineyards from there and make the valley of Achor a door of hope and expectations anticipating the time when I will restore my favor on her. And she will sing there and respond as in the days of her youth. How beautiful is that? What is the response of the love of God in your heart? You respond as in the day of your youth, before you did anything wrong. Pure, because that's how God sees you. Loving, unrelenting, just for you, just the way he wants you. And she shall sing there, and in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, says the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more barley. It means you shall call me man, no more master. You shall call me husband, no longer slave master. Why? Because Jesus became a man. So we can now relate to him on that fashion. We can now see that he is actually the one we're going to marry, because he was man. It's not just God up there, it's God right here. So it's no longer slave master, it is the one who became just like me, for me, because he loved me, to save me. And there's relationship. There's reconciliation there. There's power there. Verse 19. This is the most beautiful verse. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. And I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Thou shalt know the Lord. Now, the Amplified says, and I will betroth you, Israel, to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in loyalty and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in stability and in faithfulness. Then you will know, recognize, appreciate the Lord and respond with loving faithfulness. It says, there was an old way. We were married, but you weren't in this marriage really, because it was performance-based. It wasn't love-based. But guess what? I'm going to find you there where you are. Even if you walk away from me the first time, I'm going to find you again. And I'm going to betroth you. I'm going to marry you, but this time it's going to be different, because this time it's grace. This time it's a new covenant. This time it's forever. This time it's from loving kindness, not from performance. This time it's from me to you. This time it's from righteousness. This time it's based on mercy. Gomer, you that end in failure, this time it's going to be different. Because this time I'm not expecting anything from you. Because I've paid the price, remember. The first time I married you, the second time, while I was actually already there, I paid a price for you. The price of a slave. Meaning you now belong to me. And you know what that price is? You know what the price of a slave is? We'll look at it now. Verse 20 says, I will even betroth thee to me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Why did you walk away the first time, Gomer? Because you didn't know me. You didn't know my love. You didn't understand the way I work. Under the law, under the covenant, the old covenant, you could not really catch my heart. You couldn't catch the love that I have for you. It was an old system, Gomer. This time you're going to know me. This time you're not going to want to walk away. Because this time it's better. This time it's for real. This time it's forever. This time it's real love. The way I love you. Then God restores. He restores in the names of the children even. Verse 21 says, and this shall come to pass in the day, I will hear, says the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her into me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. I will have mercy on no mercy. So even the fruit of the old covenant, which is no mercy, I'm going to overrule that with a better covenant based on better promises. And I'll have mercy on no mercy. I will call nobody somebody. Because under the old covenant, we were nobodies. under the new covenant, we are the sons and daughters, the husbands and wives of the king. The wives, men. You need to imagine that with me. I know it's difficult. We are the wives of Jesus. We are the sons and daughters. We are somebodies. We're no longer nobodies. We're no longer just a number in a tribe with a priest. We have a personal relationship with the King of the universe, your true lover. No matter your past, no matter what it looks like, this time it's forever. This time is different. Verse 23, and I will show unto her me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon no mercy, and her that hath not obtained mercy, and I will say unto them which are not my people, thou art my people. And guess what? How do they respond the second time under the new covenant? God says, you who were called no one, I will say you are my someone. And they will say, yes, Lord, we are. And that's good news for us, because that's the Gentiles. We were nobodies. Now God calls us somebodies. Now that we say, God says we are somebody, we say, yes, God, we are. Because we belong to you. We belong to the King, because we've received your love. Because we now maybe just a little bit more understand who you really are. That you're not a God with a set of rules. You're not one that sits there and watches and looks where we just walk off the red carpet to the side and just slap us back. No. This time it's love. This time it's real. This time it's forever. This time we belong to you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. In time past, we were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So what does this new covenant look like in action? Isaiah 3:1 says, then says God the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman, beloved of a friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So God made a plan. He said, I'm going to make a new plan, a new covenant. Isaiah, you're going to find Gomer again. God, really? Like, yes. Why? Because I love her. But Lord, she's basically in bed with someone else at the moment. God said, that's not who she is. I love her. She's my child. Go find her. Go show her how much I love her. What did Isaiah get for it? He got a wife. A reconciled relationship based on true love and a happily ever after. Why? Because he did what God said. He loved as God loves. He saw it in action. Verse 1, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman, Gomer, who is beloved by a husband and yet is an adulteress. God says, I love my people, yet they walk off, yet they cheat on me. That doesn't change the fact that she's beloved. That doesn't change who you are in God's eyes. God says, I love it, beloved by a husband, and yet. It doesn't say, and yet now I won't love her anymore. It says, no, I love her. It doesn't matter what she does. Yes, she does all the bad things. I still love her. Even as the Lord loves the children of Israel. Now, that's the scripture. I want to read it out of the King James quickly for you, where I got the title of my message. Yet an adulteress, according, let's read verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of a friend, yet an adulteress. Okay, so he sets it up very nicely. Like when you play golf and you tee it up, he says, this is who you're going to love. The adulterous harlot who walks away and cheats on you. Yeah, that one. Like God, there's not really anyone worse. Yes, that one. But God, that's not your love. That's not how you are. God, you on the straight and narrow. God says, no, I'll tee that one up. And then he said, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel. Like he just puts it in there. Yes, that's how bad she is in the flesh. But according to my love, go love her. According to my love, give her another chance. According to my love, go reconcile. And then the next part of the scripture says, look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So it's like sandwiched. This is what they do with their bodies. This is what they do with their almost belief. And right in the middle, God says, I don't care. According to my love, go. Find Gomer where she is, in the back alleys, in the red light district, even in bed with someone else. Even while they're worshiping other gods, and go love her. Go bring her back, because why? There's a new way, there's a new covenant. So he goes, verse 2 says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. Okay, before he bought her, he had to find her. Now you can think about that. I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and half a homer of barley. Basically what it is, if you look at Exodus 21:32, it says, if the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto the master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So the price of a slave is 30 pieces of silver. I don't know why Uzziah paid it half and half, but I did some research and it says the barley was actually equal to 15 shekels of silver, and he paid 15 shekels of silver. So he paid a slave price. So he bought his wife back as a slave from her master. Now what's interesting is, what did Jesus pay? What did God pay? Well, first of all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved Gomer that he paid a price for her. God so loved you that he paid a price for you. That price was his son. Now, it's interesting. Matthew 26:15 says, and he said unto them, what will you give me if I deliver him unto you? So Judas goes to the high priest and says, I make a deal for you. You want Jesus? What's he worth? What's Jesus worth in the eyes of man? 30 pieces of silver. In the eyes of the world, Jesus was no more than a slave. 30 pieces of silver. So if you look from the world and you say, what did God pay for me? And you see 30 pieces of silver, you're not understanding correctly. You're looking like the world does. But if you look at John 3:16, it says, the world sees a slave, God sees a son. So God paid a son. If God paid a slave, he could have gotten a slave. God paid a son. John 3 or 3 John said that, beloved, now are we the sons, plural, of God. God sowed a son, and he reaped many sons. The world thought that he sowed a slave, 30 pieces of silver. Judas thought, bargain. That's about the going rate for a slave, 30 pieces of silver. Gomer's master thought, that's fair, 30 pieces of silver. Hosea thought, what a bargain. I'm paying the price of a slave and I'm getting my wife back. I'm paying the price of a slave and I'm getting my wife back. The world might look at you and say, yes, you're only a slave. You're about 30 pieces of silver. God looks at you and he says, you're a son. You're a daughter. And then you might say, yes, God, but I did this. Yes, God, but I did this. Yes, God, but where did you find me? God said, that doesn't matter. What I paid for you, which is Jesus, I think it was a bargain. Because I got you. Because that's the way I love you. That's what I want from you. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more is the blood of Jesus worth than 30 pieces of silver that Judas got for it? It's worth each and every one of us. And more. And more. Hosea 3:3. And I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the prostitute, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be towards you until you have proved your faithfulness. I don't like that so much. I'm going to read you the King James. It says, therefore shall the land mourn. Sorry. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. God said, you're coming back. You're going to be here and you're going to be here forever. You're going to be my wife and you're going to be in relationship with me. And so will I be with you. God's not expecting anything from you that he's not already given you. When Jesus says, love others as I have loved you, it is because that love is so huge, it's so big, it's so furious, it's so persistent, it's so directional, that he just says, when it overflows, just give that overflow to someone. Just direct that overflow of God's love in your life towards someone and let them taste a little bit of that. Let them be changed. Let them be changed like we were. Let the Gomers become the bride of Christ again. Let's share what we have. Let's share this furious, passionate love of God. Let's share the good news of this new covenant. The new marriage. The never-ending one. Let's share that with the world. Let's portray God for who he really is. Let's love according to the love of the Lord. Let it overflow in us. Because the thing is, if we're not going to receive it, we can't give it. God works with overflow. If you still think God sees you as a filthy, rotten sinner, as a Gomer in the arms of another God, or in the arms of the world, you're not going to live the way God wants you to live. God looks at you and he says, you are no longer a prostitute. You no longer belong to anyone else. I paid for you. You no longer belong to the world. I am your lover. Receive it. Enjoy it. Forget about the past. Let's have a dance. Let's have a celebration. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's make a party. Yes, but I wasted this, God, and I wasted my first chance, my second chance, my third. God says, I don't care. My love to you is never ending. My love to you is directional. My love to you has one thing in mind. I want to be reconciled to you. I want you to know me like I know you. Because guess what? I know you. And I love you still. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the things that you've forgotten that you did wrong. No, he doesn't. Because Hebrews 10 says that I will never again remember your sins, your iniquities, and your unlawful deeds. So if God forgets, and 1 John 4 says we are like Jesus, why do we remind ourselves of what we've done wrong? You want to be more like God? Forget about your sin. I'm going to say that again. You want to be more like God? Forget about what you've done wrong. Stop making excuses. And start living with your new husband. Start living under the new covenant where it's never ending, where it's never stopping. And just receive it, man. Enjoy it. Come back to your husband. Come back to your first love. The one who's always loved you. Unconditional. Because he paid a price. And even though that price was so big, it was Jesus, the Son of God. Not just him. It's weird. I think I don't have a child yet, but if you have to give your child away and you know he's still going to be alive, it's one thing. But if you give him away to be killed, that's a bit different. God gave Jesus, but he gave the blood of Jesus for you and me. And he still thinks, and I'm sure today he still thinks, it was a bargain. Because of the value that he sees in you. Because of the love that he has towards you. The word says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word says as well that we can enter boldly into the throne room to find help. When? In the time of need. So we think when we are at our lowest, then we can't get to God. God says, yes, yes, then. When you need me the most, then come boldly. But God, I'm in the arms of another man. I've walked away. I've done. He says, then, because of Jesus, come boldly. Where do I come, God? Into the throne room of grace. Think about it. You can't just go to a king. You need to be summoned. If you've done wrong, you don't want the king to summon you. God says, with me, it's different because you're not just anyone. You're my children. Run to me. When, God? When I can bring my 10 out of 10? When I can bring my 100%? No. When you need me. Because my love is relentless. It's furious. If you want to be more like me, forget about your sin. receive my love and go live as the wife and the children of the King. The wife of the Prince, children of the King.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.